Es para niños y jóvenes de 4 a 17 años. Apúntalos ya en el 91-133-5832 o en grupobaugan.com.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses.
Look, no excuses.
Welcome to No Excuses, and this is Fitz, and this is Radio Bogan, Vaughan Radio. And we have an extra special guest this morning. Ask her what her name is.
What's her name?
My name is Layla.
Or as they sometimes call you, Layla.
Yeah.
Layla. Yeah. Ask her where she's from.
Where are you from, Layla?
I'm from California.
Ask her what part of California she's from.
Which part of California are you from?
I would say what.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What part of California are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay. Ask what part, because Los Angeles is huge. Ask what part of Los Angeles she's from.
What part of Los Angeles?
What part?
What part of Los Angeles are you from?
Well, this is funny because I'm from an area called, are you ready? It's called Rancho Cucamonga.
And Cucamonga.
That's right. It's because the Cucamonga Indians lived in that area. So I went to Rancho Cucamonga High School. So every time I have to show my high school diploma, everybody laughs and says, "What is this place? It could only be in California."
And if we were to, because I've never been to Los Angeles, like, is it north, south, east, west?
Right. So it's more inland, towards the mountains.
Okay.
It's northeast.
Okay.
Northeast of LA.
All right.
30 minutes away from LA.
Okay. Ask her what she does for a living.
What do you do for a living?
Say it again.
What do you do for a living?
Living.
Living.
I'm a teacher.
Ask her where she teaches.
What do you teach?
No, ask her where she teaches.
Oh, where do you teach?
I teach in the best place in the world.
There we go. Ask her how long she's taught here.
How long have you been teaching here?
Ask her how long she has taught.
How long have you taught?
I've been teaching here since the year 2004.
All right. Ask her who trained her.
Who trained you?
Well, that would be the greatest trainer in the world over here, Mr. Fitzgerald.
She's flattering me. Ask her if she trained with Alberto Alonso.
Did you train with Alberto Alonso?
Ask the question again.
Did you train with Alberto Alonso?
That's right. Alberto and Alonso and I trained together with Fitz.
And ask her if she's a master's teacher.
Are you a master teacher?
No, master's.
Are you a master's teacher?
Yes, I'm a master's teacher.
Ask her how long she's been teaching on the master's.
How long have you been teaching on the master's?
I've been teaching on the master's since 2006.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
I'm the only original, from the original team of teachers from 2006, I'm the only one left.
All right. Okay. And ask her if she has a little girl.
Do you have a little girl?
I do, yes.
I think you've met her. Chloe, were you on the radio?
Yes.
This is Chloe's mom.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're famous for two reasons. And ask her how many brothers and sisters she has.
How many siblings do you have?
Now, we almost never say siblings.
No?
No, we would usually say brothers and sisters, yeah.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have a sister, an older sister, and a younger brother.
Ask her where they live.
Where do they live?
So my sister lives in Holland, in The Hague, and my brother lives in Chicago.
Just this morning, because something that I think is quite nice, when you log on to your computer in the morning and they have the Google photograph of the day, and this morning it's a photograph of The Hague, which is La Haya.
That's right, yeah.
I didn't know that.
La Haya.
La Haya. It sounds a bit like you.
Not La Haya.
La Haya.
La Haya. So it's separate sounds. La Haya.
Yes.
Okay.
The article, La,
and very separate.
Haya.
Yeah. In Spanish, you don't link the sound.
This is one of her specialities as a teacher. She teaches linking, which we'll come back to. And ask her if her brother went to the same high school as her.
Did your brother went to...
What?
Did your brother go to the same school as you?
High school.
Did your brother go to the same high school as you?
He went to the same high school for 2 years. And then they came back to Spain and I stayed there.
Oh, you stayed there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did.
And how long did you stay there for?
1 year.
And who did you stay with?
I stayed with a friend.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you came to Spain?
And then I came to Spain.
Okay, wow. All right, all right.
Box of surprises, Fitz.
There we go, there we go. So that mistake, legend has it. How do you say legend has it in Spanish? Like, legend has it is like, apparently or allegedly, so the story goes. The very first class that Richard Vaughan taught, he was probably 23, 24 years old, working for a competitor, who we will not mention. You're not supposed to mention your competitors. And he received 30 minutes of training and a book of some kind. And, you know, this was 1973, 74. The names and addresses of the people he was teaching. Mostly company classes, as we did at the time. And his first student, I've mentioned this story before, a guy, his name was Senor Melero. And he was an architect. And my version of the story that I've developed for myself, and this might even be true, was that it was an office somewhere near Plaza España. So I can picture Richard walking in, you know, and probably presenting or introducing himself in Spanish, and somebody saying, ah, okay, have a seat, and Mr. Malero will be right with you. So he had a seat, and then he goes to the class, first ever class, 30 minutes of training. And he asks the questions like, the question that Richard says he asked was, did you go to Brussels last week? I know we have to also remember that Richard had just arrived in Spain. He had learned Spanish in school and he'd been studying Spanish at university, but he'd never heard a person speaking English, a non-native person speaking English, making mistakes as they spoke. So this man, he said, did you go to Brussels last week? And the man said, I didn't went. And Richard said, no. You can't say that. That's wrong. That's wrong. So no one had told him to correct. It just was his visceral reaction. And the class went on. And each time the man made a mistake, no, you can't say I didn't went. I didn't go. And each time the man said, of course, yeah. The class finished. And Senor Malera said, was this your first class? Now, if someone said that to you, how would you feel? What would you think they were thinking?
I wasn't prepared.
Yeah. You know, you're thinking, oh my God, I must have looked, you know, green, as we would say in English. And Richard said, yeah, that was my first class. And the man said, but I liked it. So he went from the low to the high. And then he said, you corrected me. And Richard said, yeah. He said, no one does that. I've had hundreds and hundreds of English classes. No one corrects me. He said, so Richard is thinking, so first of all, this is my gut reaction. Secondly, the student likes it. Thirdly, the student prefers it to everything else he's had. That's the Vaughan method. So, which is why we talk about the Vaughan method. It's not a method. It's a philosophy. It's a philosophy. And my very first class, I've told the story 1,000 times, my first practice class, you know, and you go in there and you have a plan. And of course I was nervous and the student came in and she sat down, very pretty Spanish girl. I thought, okay, I think I like this job. And I said to her, I abandoned my plan. I had the plan. I was like, oh my God, I panicked for some reason. I said, how did you come here? And she said, I came in my bike. And gut reaction of mine, to my great surprise, I said, no, on your bike. And it was almost like watching a film of myself. And I remember thinking, wow, okay, I know I'm supposed to correct, but it came out naturally. And then she said, no. In my bike. I said, no. If you're in your bike, you have to be 3 centimeters tall. And then she said, oh, thank you. And then I understood. Then I understood that, I mean, that's what people who come to us, that's what they want. Now, sometimes we might think everyone should do Vaughan classes. It doesn't suit every student. It doesn't suit every type of personality. Because if you have a little bit too much ego, you're going to struggle to learn a language.
Well, it's a good humble pie.
Yeah. So you need to be the kind of person who says, you're the boss, you're the teacher, I'm completely in your hands. All right. Now ask Victor if he has done the masters.
Have you done the masters, Victor?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And also the most important thing is when you're in class, we correct every single mistake you make. When you're in real life business situations, this may sound strange, we want you to make mistakes. Because what that means is that you're thinking the most important thing is to get the message out. You get the message out. You will sometimes be, for example, in a meeting in English, you hear yourself responding and you think, I made a mistake, but you correct yourself. But the most important thing is that you communicate fluently. And this is one of the things that we teach you to do in the masters. On the spot, we correct every mistake. You go in the real world, and what we don't want you to do is somebody asks you a question, you know, did you go to Brussels last week? And you stop and you think, did you go to Brussels? So the verb is the verb to go. It's an irregular verb. Go, went, gone. So yeah, went. Did you? Past simple. So a negative answer. By the time you've gone through all of that in your head, the meeting has gone on without you.
Yep.
So it's important, get the message out there. Now ask him if he's been to Vaughan Town.
Have you been to Vaughan Town?
Yes, I have.
Ask him how many times he's been.
How many times have you been to Vaughan Town?
I've been in Vaughan Town twice.
Two.
I've been to Vaughan Town twice.
Okay, ask him where he did the Vaughan Towns.
Where did you do the Vaughan Towns?
Yeah, my first one was in Belmonte. And the second one was in Barco de Ávila.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not the original location, but maybe the longest standing location. And ask him what his experience was like.
What was your experience like?
Well, it was really, really interesting meeting a lot of people from everywhere around the world. And even some of them, I keep in touch with them.
You still keep in touch with them?
Yeah. One of the magical things about Vaughan Town is, for me, it's like doing, when I was a kid, we went to a kind of summer camp, my sisters and I, which was for speaking Irish, speaking Gaelic. And you went and you stayed with a family. And it was, you know, your first time really away from home it was a 2 week period. So you know, 11, 12 years old. And of course, you made fantastic connections. And that's when you're 11 or 12 years old. But Vaughan Town does the same thing because you're in a situation, a very unusual situation. You're there with other Spanish people and then you're there with Americans and Canadians and Australians and Scots and Welsh and English and Irish. And the connection that you make is just incredible.
Yes, it is.
So what you'd say is very, very typical, that people for years and years and years become friends.
In fact, this summer I went to Granada and I get together with one of the volunteers.
Where's the volunteer from? What country?
Well, she was from the UK.
Okay.
But she's currently living in Granada, nearby okay. Granada.
Okay, all right. So this is something that happens all the time, the connection that they make. And sometimes on a Friday afternoon, when I know there's a bus coming back from Vaughan Town, I go downstairs just to greet them from the bus. And you see the power of connection between people because they're getting off the bus with tears in their eyes. You know, and they're going home to their families. So I think if families are there to meet them, they think, wait a minute. He or she has tears in their eyes because they're leaving people behind and they're coming back home. But it's just like that experience of I don't know, it reawakens the inner child, I think.
Well, I think that the thing is, you went alone.
Yes, which is important.
Some
yeah.
fear.
Yeah.
Without knowing what are you going to face.
Yeah.
And you realize that everybody is in the same situation. Everybody's looking to improve. Everybody's yeah. looking to get some confidence.
Yes.
And after a week, you made strong connections with several people which are in the same situation as you.
Yeah.
You discover you have nothing to fear.
No, that's exactly, yeah. I think the key thing about Vaughan Town is that people lose the fear. And then for me, a very interesting thing, when I did it, we did it we didn't do it for very long, but in one of my favorite villages in the Comunidad de Madrid, in Rascafría, in the monastery there. Mm-hmm. And of course, in this beautiful monastery, which was the Hilton Hotel, then there was a dispute between the Hilton Hotel and the brothers later, so they closed the hotel. But it was in the month of February. And it was a particularly cold month. There was snow, there was ice, so the Sierra looked so beautiful. And, I went, so you get instructions before you go as an English speaker. On the bus, when you go there, you sit next to a Spanish person. And the girl sitting next to me was a master's student. And so you're told, just speak. And as I was speaking to her, I could see in her eyes, she was panicking. She was saying, I don't understand anything this guy's saying to me. But I kept going and going and going. And then I started getting off the bus and I could see all of the Spanish people, you know, very nervous, thinking, I can't understand. The whole week is going to be terrible for me. And sometimes on the Sunday night, the Monday night, you get tears. Grown men and grown women saying, I want to go home. And then we have brilliant people, the program director and the master of ceremonies, who are very, very good at, you know, calming people down. And then you see an incredible thing. Wednesday morning, because you have breakfast with them, Wednesday morning, you see someone who comes to the table and who you've seen all Sunday afternoon, all day Monday, all day Tuesday. Let's call him Pepe. Pepe comes along and Pepe sits down and Pepe just starts talking. Whereas before he was a bag of nerves. And you say, Pepe, you've just spoken for 10 minutes without stopping. And you see, he says, oh. So it's always on the Wednesday. It's like an epiphany. And so what he's lost then is the fear. You know, he's speaking while making mistakes. But on Vaughan, we don't correct the mistakes on the spot because you want them to have a more natural experience. Then they come back to classes, and you've seen this. They come back to class and they're making more mistakes in the class because they've lost the fear. So it's like being trained to play tennis. Then you play the tennis match. And because the tennis match is, you're on the spot, you have to respond naturally. And then you come back to the class and the coach says, oof, okay, I have more things I need to fix, but this is a positive thing. That's so Vaughan is an incredible
experience.
An incredible experience.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because it's the connection that you make with other people. And way back in 2000 or 2001, Richard had this idea and he said, we're going to get people to come from all over the world voluntarily. Now, when they go, they have their hotel paid for, their transport. And of course, everybody said, no, you're crazy. There's no way this can work. And it worked. So there we go.
Do you know that? Sorry to interrupt you.
No,
do
go
you
ahead.
Know that's why I found out about Vaughan, because I heard this story. So in the year 2004, I heard this story about an American that had a village in Spain where everybody spoke English. And I became really, really intrigued because I was working as a travel agent at that time.
Okay.
And I became intrigued and I looked it up on the internet, and that was why I came to Vaughan Systems.
And do you remember where you heard about it? How? Who told you?
I don't remember exactly, but I just remember hearing the story and I was like, I need to find out
and
about this.
I remember being intrigued kind of by the same thing because, and I've told this again before, I found out about Vaughan Systems in the village of Finisterre in Galicia. So you do the Camino de Santiago, you get to Santiago. I spent 3 days partying. And I made very good friends with these Italian guys, these great Italian guys from the north of Italy. And at about 2 o'clock in the morning in a bar in Galicia, everybody partying, and they said, Irishman, tomorrow we walk 3 more days to Finisterre. And I said, no. They said, no, come on. I said, okay, all right. And then because of that, I ran into an Irish guy and an Irish-American guy who turned out to be my second cousin's best friend from Peekskill, New York. And they told me about Vaughan. Because I thought, to be a teacher, I would have to do a TEFL or a CELTA. They said, no. They actually prefer you don't have that. They'll train you. And then I remember going online and looking up, you know, the website and seeing this, like, seeing two things. Because, I, you know, they said Vaughan Systems. And I had in my head, okay, Vaughan Systems. So it must be, my thought was this. This was an American guy who had set up a software company in Spain because of the word systems. And he wants English teachers to teach employees and maybe clients. And then I looked it up and I said, oh no, it's an English teaching company. But I saw Vaughan Town and I saw Vaughan Radio. And I said, this is crazy. This guy has a radio station. He's got this village where people go to learn, where they go to learn the language. And then obviously in your case, as someone who was interested in, because you studied tourism, right?
Yeah. Tourism management.
Yeah. So you saw this and you were like, I gotta check this. I have to check this out. And the way people come to us usually as teachers is almost 7 out of 10 cases recommended by either another teacher or by a student. You know, we get the typical guy who marries a Spanish girl and our mother listens to Vaughan Radio. And then they say to him, hey, you know, hey, buddy, if you're going to be my daughter's boyfriend or husband, you better find a job. So he then or she comes and starts teaching with us.
Even I know of some volunteer that become a volunteer.
One I can think of right away, Lee Turnpenny, who a very, we were talking about him the other day. Lee is from Leicester in England. He's been on the radio with me a few times. He did several Vaughan Towns. And then the Vaughan Town people said to me, hey, we got to hire this guy. And a classic Vaughan story. Lee is probably about my age or maybe a year or two older. He, I think at about the age of 16, he joined the British Navy and then spent 20 years in the British Navy, served out his time. At the age of 36, probably went back to school, did his A-levels, which is the, what would you call it in Spain? The selectividad, kind of. Then went to university, got a degree in some branch of chemistry, I think. Then did a master's and then did a PhD. How do you say PhD in Spanish?
Doctorado.
In, I think, microbiology. And then worked for several years in the pharmaceutical field and then did Vaughan Towns and then has been working for us as mostly a residential and Vaughan, and in Vaughan Town in various ways for about the last four years. And that's a typical thing. So as you say, several of the volunteers become teachers.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a little bit of vocabulary. You ready?
Ready.
Ascensor.
Lift or elevator.
Very good. Entrada.
Entrance.
Very good. Equipamiento.
Equipment.
Very good. Hacia o adelante.
Towards.
Forward.
Forward.
Yeah. What does forward march mean? If someone says forward march.
Forward march means to go on march.
Yeah, for the military. So usually the sergeant major. Forward march. Frecuentemente.
Frequently.
Frequently. Very good.
Yeah. This is one of the things that's hard about English. There's only one E. And the word free is spelt with two E's. This is why you have to ignore spelling, really. Yeah. Oro.
Gold.
Very good. La Gramática.
The grammar.
The grammar or just grammar?
Grammar.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, one of the things that I think is hard for Spanish people. The article is used much more in Spanish than it is in English. When we talk about things in general, we say grammar.
Just test the grammar. So I thought...
Yeah, this is one of the things that's hard. You say, well, why not? Because you're talking about like grammar being... You would say his or her grammar is very strong, for example. Gran Bretaña.
Britain.
Yeah, which I just typically call Britain. I don't use the word great. arma de fuego.
Weapon.
Okay.
Or gun.
You can say gun.
Gun.
And sometimes we do say in English firearm.
Firearm,
yeah. Mm. Guapo o apuesto?
Handsome.
Very good. Good pronunciation. Apenas.
Can't remember.
It starts with an H.
Yes?
It starts with an H. It ends with a Y. Hardly.
Hardly. Yeah, as in hardly ever.
Hardly ever.
Idéntico.
Identical.
Very good. Irlanda.
Ireland.
Ask her if she's been to Ireland.
Have you ever been to Ireland?
I have been to Ireland, yes, on many occasions.
Ask her how many times she's been.
How many times have you been in Ireland?
In or two?
Yeah, two better. Yeah.
Sorry, that was my teacher intuition there.
Yeah, better two.
That's right.
Yeah.
How many times have you
now been? Say it again.
How many times have you been to Ireland?
Wow, I think I've lost count. At least maybe seven or eight times. Yeah.
Okay.
The first time I went to Ireland was in 2006, and
frequent traveler.
I fell in love, instant love for Ireland, Irish people, the Irish countryside, and actually also the Irish food. I've had really, really good food. I mean,
thank you for saying this. It's better than people. It's improved a great deal. Yeah.
Seriously, Fitz. Yeah. We went to Ireland this summer. We stayed in a really beautiful place in Dublin, and we had the most incredible food.
What part were you in? The city centre? Can you remember?
It was by St. Stephen's Green.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. It's a lovely city. Dublin's a nice city.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so food is better than food is better than people think, because I think when I was a kid, we you know, the country was still, by standards of, by European standards, the country was still pretty poor. The first time I ate pizza and pasta, I was 16 years old, because people just didn't eat it. And then my sisters began to cook, and of course they started to cook things that my mother wouldn't have cooked. And, you know, a lot of Irish chefs have been influenced by Spanish, the great Spanish chefs. And now you can buy ingredients pretty much of every type. And, you know, as tourism increased, one of the things that we saw that we needed to improve was the quality of food. Because if you have, you know, French, especially French and Italian and Spanish tourists, you need to give them a good experience in the restaurants. Mm-hmm. And she's been to parts of Ireland I have not been to. You've been to the Giant's Causeway, I think, right?
I have, yeah.
Which is on the northeast
very
coast.
North, yeah.
I've never been there. Chiste.
Joke.
Very good pronunciation. Grande.
Big.
Or?
Huge.
Or? With the letter L?
Large.
Very good, very good. Lechuga.
Lettuce.
No.
Lettuce.
Lettuce.
Tess.
Lettuce.
Like lettuce, de permitirnos, lettuce.
Lettuce.
Very
there
good.
We go. This is what you get if you do the master's, this kind of expertise. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Listen carefully. Can you hear that? No, no. Listen closer. I'm not talking about the birds chirping. I'm talking about everybody speaking English and feeling comfortable. Listen. This is what it's like at Vaughan Town. A peaceful place where you can really learn English and lose your inhibitions. There's a reason it's one of our star programs. Vaughan Town. Lose your fear of speaking English. If you want more information about this immersive experience, go to GrupoVaughan.com or give us a call, 911-385831. Lose your fear of speaking English and express yourself with clarity at Vaughan Town. Psst. Hey there. It's time for another Vaughan Radio Trivia Night. Do you know who's hosting this time? I'll give you a clue. He's the Texan who started this company.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. I think you know me, and I know a lot of you.
Did you say Richard Vaughan? Right on. Join us February 1st at Roll Madrid, Calle de Amaniel 23. For another Vaughan Radio Trivia Night, hosted by the one and only Richard Vaughan. It's gonna be tons of fun.
Si tienes un smartphone o una tablet, no tienes excusas. Descarga ya nuestra app de Vaughan Radio y podrás escuchar nuestra radio en directo, enviarnos tus tweets, conocer nuestra parrilla, acceder a nuestros podcasts y enterarte de todas las novedades de Vaughan. Aprende inglés en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar con la app de Vaughan Radio.
Si juntamos todas las horas de clase de inglés que Miguel ha dado en su vida, suman casi un año. Sí, un año entero. ¿Y sabes lo peor? Que Miguel tiene un nivel de inglés más bien normalito. Vamos, el típico nivel intermedio. Y como Miguel, hay muchos españoles que por culpa del método antiguo han pasado mucha parte de su vida estudiando inglés para conseguir poco. Es probable que ese sea también tu caso, y esos años no te los va a devolver nadie. Pero tenemos una buena noticia, tus hijos no tienen que pasar por eso.
Apúntalos a Club Junior. Aprenderán con un método ameno y exigente que les motiva y despierta sus ganas de aprender inglés. Vence a los antiguos métodos con Vaughan. Tus hijos tendrán la oportunidad que tú no tuviste. Llama ahora al 91-133-5832 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Porque es compatible con tu jornada laboral, con un máximo de 6 alumnos por clase. Son los trimestrales de Vaughan. Exigentes, intensos. Sí, son los de Vaughan, con más de 40 años de experiencia. Elige el día de la semana y déjate de excusas. Ven a nuestro centro Vaughan en Madrid, en la calle Orense 69, primera planta, o en la calle Arapiles 18. Más información en el 91-133-5833. Trimestrales de Vaughan. 3 meses y notarás la diferencia.
Este sábado, pásate por tu kiosco y pide tu ejemplar de Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan, con el mundo y marca. Por 6,95 euros, tus hijos y tú aprenderéis inglés con vuestros personajes Disney favoritos y los mejores profesores Vaughan. Esta semana, Raya y el último dragón. Así que ya sabes, este sábado en tu kiosco, por 6,95 euros, con El Mundo y Marca. Aprende inglés con Disney English Vaughan.
Program, and I'm here with Leila and Victor Hugo. Why did they call you Victor Hugo?
They called me Victor Hugo because of the writer.
Okay. So were your parents interested in literature?
Yes, they read a lot.
Both of them. Okay. And we have Leila. Ask her why she's called Leila.
Why are you called Leila?
Because music, well, I'm called Leila because music is very important in my family, and both my parents are Eric Clapton fanatics.
Both of them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And he's someone that Richard Vaughan talks a lot about, as in Eric Clapton, because this is something that always fascinates me and shows me, like, to my great regret, if I'd made more of an effort with music when I was a kid, I would play music. So you see someone like Eric Clapton, and you watch him play, you say, wow, what a talent. But I'm sure if you ask him, he'll say, no, talent is not really the key thing. The story goes, apparently, I think he was about 16 years old, and his stepfather gave him a present of a guitar. By the time he was 19, he was a professional musician in the Yardbirds, because he just fell in love, and he practiced day and night. And it just shows you, you know, it's practice. And maybe, of course, I'm sure he also has a good ear and, you know, dexterity in his fingers. But it just shows you, you know, from zero to 3 years, especially. And it's not that he was 9 years old. He was 16 or 17, you know. So it was an incredible learning process. And probably most musicians would tell you the same thing. A lot of great sports people, there's something similar. Here we have Robert passing us by right now. Where they take up a sport and they just become totally devoted to it, and they practice and they practice and they practice. And it's one of the things that if you read about Messi's teammates, they'll say he's the first one out to train and he's the last one. When they're all gone home, he's still there. That's where the greatness comes from.
I think it should be a spark behind, little inside of
something that's waiting to come out. Yeah, that is found. Yeah. And for example, us as teachers, we'd never taught, but then I remember that first class thinking, it seemed to me to be totally natural, where I thought it would be a big struggle, but it just, especially our style of teaching where it's very immediate, you correct on the spot, you make people repeat, you make them say it until it's right, you're always working on the sound. Something I always say when we're training teachers, I say you should train or teach your student as if they were both blind and illiterate. How do you say illiterate?
I was thinking that the proper word to translate it, but it's
I can't think of it.
And you say analfabeto?
Analfabeto.
So the meaning that if a person says, oh, can you write the word down? No. As kids, as children, we don't learn a language by your mother sitting down with you and saying, okay, now, you know, you with Chloe. Now, Chloe, it's about time at 6 years of age that you master the present conditional. You just speak to her and she picks it up. And she picks it up, and of course, your understanding is always going to be ahead of your speaking, even in your own language. And because this Vaughan style is so completely natural, this is what happens in the classes. One of the reasons why people like it is it's a very natural style. You can't be bored in a Vaughan style class, because it's never, the teacher says, okay, open your books to page, I don't know, open your books to page 16. Now, Pepe, read out the first paragraph. I had this at school with geography, which is one of my favorite subjects. That's all the teacher did. Read out the paragraph in the class. Criminal. Absolutely criminal.
I think within my master's, no one told me about to open a book.
Yeah. In the class, it's all
just for
speaking.
The homework, of yes. course, but never in class.
Yeah. Speaking nonstop. The teacher is here on Friday. We had two people, Juan and Alfonso, who are orchestra conductors. And I told them, I said, Our teachers really are orchestra conductors, especially when you have a group. You ask a question, you point at Pepe. Pepe answers and Pepe gets stuck, and then you say, hang on, Maria. Maria answers. You got the Pepe. Pepe repeats what Maria said. And you use the strengths of the students a lot, because you'll always have one student who's probably has a better ear than the other students, who has the best pronunciation. So it's important that the teacher uses that person, because the students will learn more from each other very often, even from the teacher. But the teacher has to be the facilitator. You know, you're like, okay, first violin, now cello. You know, so you bring people in, and the time then, as a result, absolutely flies, which is one of the reasons I fell in love with this style. Was you would get assigned at the beginning a 2-hour class, and you would say, my God, what am I going to do for 2 hours? And then suddenly the end of the 2 hours came, and you were like, wow, done, done, finished, and onto the next.
First class, I was expecting the mid-class break.
Ah, yeah.
Because I was suffering.
Yeah.
And by the end, I don't want the classes to end.
Yes. And this is one of the things that, like, people say they don't want the class to end. They don't want to leave the presence of the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as a teacher, this is a great feeling where you're thinking, well, they're making progress with you. You see the progress in front of your face. Yeah. And again, going back to, like, Eric Clapton with the music, you says this is, you need someone to be in life. I think you need people to be your mentor. Somebody sees something in you. And I was watching a film recently. Ah, yeah. It was have you seen the film The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes.
Yes. There's a line in that film. And he says something like, the people who you could never imagine achieving anything achieve things that you could never imagine. Yep. So he's talking about that. There's a character, and this is it's a true story, played by Keira Knightley. And at that time, of course, because she's a woman, she's completely blocked off from a lot of the opportunities. And he sees something in her. And she's about to leave and go home. He says, no, no, no. And he found a way to convince her. And she became the most valuable member of his team. So this is something that I often see when we're training somebody. And you see, maybe they've never done anything like this. Maybe it's very foreign to them. And you see them at the beginning of the training really struggling with this. And I think, okay, I'm going to stick with this guy or this girl, because they have the base element is always, are they willing to work? Work ethic. Are they willing to work? And you see, if they've got that right attitude, then you can get them to do almost anything. And maybe they're not the star of the training. Maybe they're not the star of the show. Maybe they start off and they finish the training and they get through it. And they, you know, they, and then 3 months later, you get feedback from their students and the person says, this is the best teacher I've ever had in my life. And it's because of it's everything in life is attitude, 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 and aptitude comes a very, very distant a very distant second. And this is something we enjoy a lot in this company. You take people who've never taught, who've never even thought about teaching. I always presumed that I would be a terrible teacher because I wasn't a very good student. But I think sometimes when you're not a very good student, you actually become a better teacher, because when I have a group, I'm always thinking, that guy there, he reminds me of me. He's the guy I'm going to have to be really hard on him to get the best out of him, which is what my favorite teachers are, the ones who they pushed me really hard. Ask Leila who her best school teacher was.
Leila, who was your best school teacher?
You know what, Victor, Hugo, that's a very difficult question, because I had so many incredible teachers, and especially in high school.
Really?
So many incredible teachers.
So you had a lot, because I had the opposite experience. My primary school teachers were, I would say, they were all good. Secondary, some good ones. Some mediocre ones and a couple of bad ones. But again, like you say, I'm lucky. The majority of my teachers were people who were, I think the first thing a teacher must have is dedication, because you're not going to get rich as a teacher, but the richness is the people you teach and this is what we see, for example, in our master's program, where the students have, you know, these are people with jobs. You were working while you were in the master's. So you were working maybe a 12-hour day and you did the evening master's, not the weekend.
Yeah, the evening one.
And so you start your classes at 7 o'clock, having possibly been working since 7 a.m.
Yep.
And how many kids do you have?
Well, I have no kids. I have two granddaughters.
Okay, you have two granddaughters, right? And so people with busy lives, you know, with mortgages to pay and with demanding bosses. And they come and they do a class from 7 to 9.30. 9.30, sorry. And then you have 10 hours of homework a week? More?
Well, at the beginning, it takes me between 5 and 7 hours to get everything done.
Okay, so it's almost like having another job. But at the end of the 5 months, I mean, you've seen this 1,000 times, the progress they've made is just incredible.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's more visible to us as teachers than it is to the student.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is something that's hard for them.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, I always tell my students, you know, this is like when you start gaining a lot of weight. You see yourself in the mirror every day, but you don't see that the, you know, I was going to say the pounds, that the kilos are adding on. And then all of a sudden one day you pull out a pair of jeans and you're like, whoa.
Whoa, yeah.
What happened? And this is the same thing, because sometimes you're like, but I don't realize my improvement. And I tell them, believe in yourself. Be patient. Believe in yourself. Just keep working. Keep working hard. Believe in us. And then one day it's like, boom.
Boom, yeah.
It clicks and they go, wow. Now I understand what you meant.
Yeah.
And it's like everything. Learning is not instant. It's the learning process is slow, unfortunately. It's not a fast process. But what you have to do is just believe in us. We've been doing this for a very, very long time on the master's program. We have an excellent team of teachers that have complete and absolute dedication to what they do. Also, we know that you guys are working. We know that the class needs to be very dynamic. We know that everything, all the mistakes need to be on the spot. And, you know, we make sure that the class is enjoyable. Obviously that you learn and that you cover the material that you have to cover, but that the class is enjoyable. So when you finish the class, you have this feeling of like, wow, I worked really hard, but I had a great time. And I realize how much I learned.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had an experience here recently, quite a beautiful thing, which was, it was a Saturday morning. And we do have 6 face-to-face weekend masters groups here. So you can choose face-to-face or video.
Yep.
And these people chose face-to-face. And I see them here every Saturday morning. And at the beginning I asked them, I said, why did you choose face-to-face? And they said, these are the kind of people in job, like yourself, you know, senior executives in companies, you know, themselves, CEOs, finance directors, etc. And they said, we spend so much time every day in front of a computer. We wanted to do something that was, you know, if we could arrange it with our families, etc., that we could do it face to face. So they also have the social element. So we organized, usually they have a break of 15 minutes in the morning. We organized one Saturday where they'd have a break of 30 minutes. And our chief executive, Virginia, and our head of sales came in and they met them. And especially Virginia, who's our CEO, she was blown away by the feedback she got from the students. How would you say that to me? She was blown away. Like, she was.
Anonadada. No.
How do you say it?
Anonadada.
Anonadada. Yeah. Yeah. Because they were saying, no, our experience, they weren't saying the past, they were talking about the experience. She also got to meet the teachers. And I could see she was very proud of, you know, these were people of business wise, a high level, people with extreme levels of responsibility in their own jobs. And they were praising the masters, saying they were going to do another one. You know, they say, well, I have to talk to my wife, husband, boss. I've got to see about a childminder maybe, and talking about how they wanted to do it. They wanted to do it again. And some of them are going to do their third masters. And it's the biggest excuse that all of us, including me, are guilty of. You say, oh, I can't do it because I don't have time. Nonsense. If you really want to do it, you'll make time. And for the sake of 5 months, you really want to crack that problem, that professional problem and maybe personal problem you have of English, you do the master's more than any other program we have. That's the one.
Absolutely.
Ask Leila how many students she's taught.
How many students have you taught?
Sometimes you should try to calculate. You could do it probably if you multiply the number of years you're in the company by, usually in our company at any one time, teachers have about, depending on what they're doing, an average of about 35 students at any one time. So someday you should calculate, because it will be a very interesting thing to know for just for yourself. And in your case, for example, when you started the Masters, which is what, two years ago,
early in 2020.
I came
to the venues for a week, and then
the pandemic.
The pandemic.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
That switch, that March promotion.
And it was amazing how you guys solved the problem to move people from face to face to online.
Over a weekend.
A lot of work and a lot of people here. There's a great expression in English that, you know, which has always been a great feature of this company. In a crisis, we're capable of great things. And so many people here, especially the teachers, put their shoulder to the wheel. Now, putting your shoulder to the wheel is, this comes from an expression. I saw that film for maybe the third time over Christmas, 1917. Have you seen that? It's about the First World War. It's a really good film because it's made by Sam Mendes, the director, and it's almost all one take, or at least that's how it seems. There's no break. And at one point, a truck, this is 1917, and a truck gets stuck in the mud. All the soldiers get off and they all push it. And literally, they put their shoulder to the wheel, which means everybody gets together and makes a supreme effort. And so especially the teachers there, in one weekend, switched to video conference. Yeah. Many of them doing the classes over their phone because they didn't have internet in their house, but they managed. And our clients were very accommodating. And so it took a lot of our competitors much longer to get this solved. We got it solved. And it took a lot of effort by a lot of people to get it to work. But it was one of the most impressive things that I've seen in my time here, getting that switched pretty much overnight. And for example, in your case, I can see your mastery of vocabulary is very strong because of the fact that how many vocabulary lists do they do in a typical master's?
Two books,
which is probably 35 or 36 lists of 25 vocabulary words. Yeah. Are you ready for some more vocabulary?
Of course.
Okay. So we'll review a little bit. Lechuga.
Lettuce.
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 What was the tip you gave?
Let us. Yeah. Como de permitir. Permítenos. Yeah. Let us.
Frecuentemente.
Frequently.
Very good, very good. Bajo.
Low.
Very good. La costa.
The shore.
Okay. Or?
The coast.
The coast, yeah. There'll be a little difference. For example, the coast would be, you would talk about the west coast of Ireland, for example. The shore would be something more specific, the shore of a lake, for example. And a river?
Is a bank.
The bank, very good.
I read a lot of naval novels.
Very good. By Thomas Keneally, right?
No, Clive Cussler.
Okay. And how do you say the bench on the riverbank in Spanish? The bench on the riverbank.
Banco en la ribera.
Yeah, and how do you say it in English?
A bench in the bank.
On the bank. Yeah, bench on the bank. Yeah. You were talking about being in Dublin. And so in Dublin City, you have the River Liffey that flows through it. And you also have two artificial canals, the Royal Canal and the Grand Canal, the Royal on the north side and the Grand Canal on the south side. And parts of the south side of Dublin, like around St. Stephen's Green, near the city centre, it's quite elegant. It's quite Georgian because it was built by the English. And on it, you have, there's a bench with a sculpture of one of my favourite Irish poets, Patrick Kavanagh, because he lived there. He wasn't from there. He was from the border with Northern Ireland, but he lived there, and he was often seen sitting there. So if you're in Dublin, try to find where that is, because his poetry is it's a bit miserable. Yeah, it's not exactly uplifting. He was a bit of a miserable sod, as we would say in Ireland, but great poetry, because he was from a part of Ireland. He was from County Monaghan. And one of his poems is, "Oh, stony grey soil of Monaghan, the laugh of my love you thieved." So it's all about him, very isolated. There's another one about him standing on the side of the road when everyone else is going to the dance, and he's by himself. So it's not exactly uplifting, but it's good poetry. And One of his most famous poems was called Raglan Road. Again, miserable because he was in love with this woman who was not in love with him. And that became a song. There was a group from the 1960s until the 2000s called the Dubliners. One of those groups of people who really saved Irish traditional singing from dying at that time. And they had an amazing singer, a guy called Luke Kelly, with a fantastic voice and we would say flame red hair. He had a massive head of red hair and an incredible voice. And these were young guys in the 60s. And they you know, someone said, you should make a song out of Raglan Road. So they put a tune to the poem. And then they went to see him. And, you know, he was famous as being, there's a good word in English, cantankerous. Like, hot-tempered, you know, always complaining, and this guy was like that. So they went to see him, and they thought, there's no way he's going to give us the permission to use the poem. And they went to see him. He said, yeah, yeah, I actually heard you singing. I like your voice. I really want you to do this. So it was very simple. Yeah. Hacer publicidad.
To advertise.
Very good. And how would you say anuncio de prensa in terms of TV, what you see on the TV?
Advertise. Ad.
An American English?
Commercial.
Commercial. Yeah. Ayudar. In a very formal sense.
Help or support.
Another word.
With an A?
Yeah. Very short word.
Aid?
Yes. Very good. Yeah. How do you say first aid in Spanish?
Primeros auxilios.
Yeah. So you have the first aid kit, which you call botiquín, right?
Yeah. Botiquín. Yes.
Yeah. Which means what? Little box?
Yeah, right? No?
No,
el diminutivo de bote, botiquín, ¿no? No.
No, diminutivo de bote sería botecito, pero okay. No botiquín.
All right.
Botiquín is just a word related to healthcare.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because you can call botiquín a case or a room.
A room can be botiquín.
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, interesting. Right. I didn't know that either.
No.
Thank you.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Morder.
To beat. Bite.
Completar.
To complete.
Yes, yeah. Now, here's something. I don't know if you agree with this. I say to students, because I do the same thing myself sometimes in Spanish. If in doubt, and you're on the spot, in a real life situation, yeah. Try to give the Latin translation. I would say at least half of the time you're going to be right. and the other times people would probably say,
you guys have plenty of false friends. There are a lot of false friends.
But sometimes, you know, a person who you're speaking to who is native will say, no, I understand what you're saying. And they'll give you the right thing to say.
The right word.
Yeah. So communication is based on, you have to be spontaneous. Ganar o adquirir.
To get.
Okay, very good. Or?
To win something, but this is more ganar. Earn.
Okay, earn, or? You mentioned it a while ago, when you eat a lot.
With a G?
Yeah. When you eat a lot, what happens to you?
To gain,
very good. Casarse.
To get married.
Very good. Say it again.
To get married.
Yeah.
Excellent. Deep pronunciation there. Yeah. All right, Victor Hugo.
Can you say it for me?
Get married.
Ah, okay. No, you don't do it so much, but for example, I noticed that Richard's pronunciation of married is more like married. You say married, kind of the same way I do. Yeah. Insistir en. Latin translation? Try it.
To insist on.
Very good. See, there you go. Okay. So at least half of the time you'll be right. You'll be right. Now, another thing so we always talk about, and we tell the people who set our classes, we don't do classes. This is not like, because every provider of English does classes. It's an experience. It's an experience. And it's because the key person in the whole process is the teacher. So you don't just learn the language, but you also learn a lot of the culture of English speaking countries. As, especially for me, as a non-Spanish person, I learned a lot from my students. I'll never forget, you know, we used to do classes at 7:30 in the morning in Alcobendas. And I would go across the street before the class and have a cup of coffee. And I'll never forget the first time I saw, you know, and you look around you. I saw this man trying to drink coffee from a glass, and the glass was so hot he could barely hold it. And I was thinking, why not put it in a cup with a handle? And I went to the class and I said to the students, I said, I have a question. I said, you know, I saw this morning, this man, you know, drinking coffee from a glass. And one of the, you know, Pepe says, claro. And I said, what do you mean, claro? Like, why a glass? And he said, because you get more coffee. And I said, ah. But I said, like, why don't they put it into something with a handle? He was like, no. That's the experience. You have to, you know, you have to pay the price if you want it in the glass. And I said, why don't you get it with more warm milk? No. If you like coffee with hot milk, you like coffee with hot milk. And small little details of this type. And then, you know, the food culture, because I came here and I was aware of paella, but I didn't know anything about like lentejas and, you know, fabada and these fantastic
stews.
I didn't know that existed in Spain at all, because you think, you know, I think as foreigners, we can often be quite ignorant about Spain, because when foreigners come to Spain, where do they go? They go to the beach.
Yeah.
And you realize, okay, that's a part of what Spain is. But, you know, I remember being in Madrid and it was wintertime and you go for the menú del día and you saw this fantastic, you know, these, as you said, the cuchara, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's something, as a student, you also learn in the master's program. So you might say, how do I sign up for this? Well, you call 91-133-5833, or you go to grupoprogram.com, you leave your details and we will call you. And it's the best learning experience of your life. Thank you, Leila.
Thank you.
You, Victor. Thank you, Nacho. Thank you. Stay tuned for Alberto Alonso. Bye-bye.
Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
¿Tus hijos reciben el inglés que necesiten en el colegio? ¿Llegarán gracias al colegio a dominar el inglés cuando sean mayores? ¿Podrán en el futuro mantener el tipo en el ámbito profesional con el inglés del colegio? Si quieres que tengan un nivel de dominio que sorprende de verdad a reclutadores y futuros jefes, invierte ahora en su formación y tráelos aquí, a nuestro Club Junior. Clases pequeñas, intensas, divertidas y con profesores que les encantarán. El inglés dejará de ser un rollo para ellos y su progreso cambiará de la noche a la mañana. ¿Por qué? Porque de repente les gustará el inglés y la clase de inglés. Un cambio total. Y es este cambio de actitud hacia mi